Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. and you are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Wednesday, November 13th, 2013. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. A 19-year-old Sitka man has gone missing. Scott Falzarana was last seen on Monday morning at home in Sitka's Indian River neighborhood. His family reported him missing Tuesday. 20 members of Sitka Mountain Rescue and two search dogs spent Tuesday searching the Indian River Valley, along with many of Falzarano's friends and family. A Coast Guard helicopter flew a sortie up the valley on Tuesday afternoon. Sitka Mountain Rescue Director Don Cluding said the search so far has turned up nothing, and it isn't even clear that Falzarano went into the wilderness at all.
We're certainly worried. The urgency on this case has certainly gone up substantially as the day's gone on, and we've overturned the stones and everything, and we've come up with nothing, and at the end of the day, we're still unable to demonstrate whether he's in the urban setting or the wilderness. You know, we're certainly very concerned about him and his welfare.
The search team received a report that Falzarano might have been seen at the Indian River trailhead around 3 p.m. Monday, but they have not been able to confirm that it was him. Cluding said the team had interviewed Falzarano's friends and family on Tuesday and confirmed that he did not leave Sitka by plane. Cluding is asking for any information that might help piece together Falzarano's movements in the past few days.
Any information that you have on his whereabouts or, you know, last time that you saw him, you know, within the last day or two would certainly help us, you know, piece together, you know, his travels, where he was going, you know, when, you know, somebody saw or talked to him recently, what was he talking about? You know, was he excited about a trip or something like that?
Falzarano is described as about 6 feet tall with blonde hair. He was last seen wearing jeans and a black or red hooded sweatshirt. Anyone with any information is asked to call the Sitka Fire Department at 747-3233. And as of 7 a.m. this morning, Search and Rescue Captain Don Cluding reports that they have no additional information at this point. He says the team did follow up on a number of tips received over the course of Tuesday night, but as of right now, we have not located Scott and the search continues. Cluding says Search and Rescue has not ruled out any search areas. They continue to focus on both the wilderness and urban environments. Cluding continues to urge the public to report any information to Search and Rescue, regardless of how insignificant it may seem. The city of Sitka wants the governor to get off the fence about Medicaid. The Sitka Assembly Tuesday night passed a resolution asking Governor Parnell and the state legislature to fully consider the benefits to Alaskan communities of expanding Medicaid to cover a larger share of the state's poorest residents. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The U.S. Supreme Court's ruling on the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, in the summer of 2012 left open the possibility for states to opt out of the law's Medicaid provision. Alaska was one of the states to bring that lawsuit, and Governor Parnell remains vocal in his opposition to the law, but he hasn't officially said no to the Medicaid option, not yet. He's mostly worried about having to pick up the bill. Here's what he told me when he visited Sitka back in October.
I can't trust the government, the federal government, to keep its word. I think I can trust the Obama administration that they're going to fund this for the next 2 or 3 years. I don't have a problem with that. It's what happens after that.
Parnell's got until December 15th to decide whether to accept the federal government's offer to increase the number of residents eligible for Medicaid. That's when he submits his budget to the legislature. The Sitka Assembly did not share the governor's concern. They mainly wanted to send a message that the bottom line was about getting health coverage for Alaskans too poor to buy it on their own. That and the actual bottom line. This is Deputy Mayor Matt Hunter.
A lot of the people who would be benefited by this still seek care in Sitka and receive care in Sitka for free because no one pays their bills except the rest of us who pay our bills, which are marked up to cover their bills. So we're all paying for it. And this is would be a huge economic boost. We look at $1 million of charity care a year at Sitka Community Hospital alone. That's one of our two hospitals. That's a lot of money that would be coming into town that isn't otherwise.
The Assembly also recognized that the Affordable Care Act was at the heart of an ongoing partisan struggle in Washington, D.C., a struggle where few have been willing to give up ground, even if it directly benefits low-income citizens or the disabled. According to former Commissioner of Health and Human Services Myra Munson, 41,500 Alaskans will be covered if the state participates in Medicaid expansion. Assemblymember Pete Esquiro asked City Administrator Mark Gorman for his opinion on the issue. Gorman, who's had a 30-year career in public health, said there was no doubt that the expansion would benefit Sitkins and local hospitals, but
where there is reluctance to go in this direction, state houses are run by Republican governors, and I think it goes back to the issue that it's largely a partisan debate.
Assemblymember Ben Maiasato said there has been no time in the last 40 years that health care has not been a partisan debate. He supported the grassroots nature of the resolution.
What it will do, if enough communities pass this and get it out there, I think this is more ammunition for the governor to rethink his decision.
Mike Reif was more trusting than the governor of the Obama administration's funding plan. He called it a pretty good deal for states. Pete Esquiro hesitated, but eventually cast a yes vote. The resolution passed 6-0. Mayor Mim McConnell, who sponsored the resolution with Phyllis Hackett, was out on a family emergency. According to data supplied in the assembly packet, 18 states have adopted the Medicaid expansion. 5 are leaning yes, 5 are leaning no, 10 are firm no's, and 12, including Alaska, are undecided. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
In other business last night, the Assembly also unanimously passed a resolution asking the U.S. Congress to fund the Coast Guard at realistic levels. The Coast Guard is the only branch of the military not in the Department of Defense and has been subject to funding cuts under sequestration. The Assembly passed on first reading an ordinance making November 29th and 30th sales tax holidays. The 29th is the Friday after Thanksgiving, often called Black Friday. Saturday the 30th, by Assembly proclamation, is now Small Business Saturday. And in a work session prior to last night's meeting, the Assembly heard a presentation from a consultant on developing a stormwater plan. Public Works Director Michael Harmon said the city currently has no such plan, and stormwater runoff has been a persistent problem in new developments. You can hear more on these stories this evening at 5:19 p.m. on Raven News. Southeast Alaska and the state as a whole has seen an apparent upswing in sea otter hunting in recent years. That's according to numbers compiled by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which says this year will yield the biggest reported harvest on record. Matt Lichtenstein has more.
U.S. Fish and Wildlife records show that for all of 2012, Alaska native hunters in coastal communities across the state reported a total harvest of 1,281 sea otters. 952 of those were from southeast, including Yakutat. So far, this year's harvest is at least 1,380 statewide. That includes 1,008 from southeast this year so far. The agency expects the number to grow by the end of the year since a lot of the harvest takes place in the fall.
This year is one of the biggest years that we have on record. Well, it's actually the biggest year of harvest.
Biologist Brad Benter runs the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's marking and tagging program for sea otters in Alaska.
Every community in Alaska where Alaska natives live and sea otters exist, we have a representative tagger or several. And even in some villages where there are no sea otters, we have taggers. And so when somebody harvests a sea otter, they will go to the tagger in the nearest community and, you know, they'll get their animal, what we call it, tagged, sealed. Scientific harvest information is also collected for each animal.
Under the Marine Mammal Protection Act, sea otters may only be hunted by coastal Alaska natives. There's no set season, bag limit, or permit needed, but hunters are required to report their kills. There have been ups and downs depending on the community, but the overall harvest has been on the increase in at least the past half decade. U.S. Fish and Wildlife biologist Verena Gill thinks there are various factors that have contributed to that.
You know, the most obvious one as a biologist is that the population is increasing in southeast Alaska and in south central Alaska.
For instance, between 2002 and 2011, the number of southeast otters increased from about 11,000 to around 26,000 animals. That's according to the agency's latest population assessment, which is expected to be finalized soon. According to Gill, the data provided by hunters is valuable for otter research and management.
I'm very, very appreciative to the hunters that get their animals tagged because we get all this information that helps us make a lot of management decisions. It also helps us track you know, a lot of things like health and disease of sea otters in the nearshore ecosystem.
The fur trade wiped out the southeast sea otter population by the early 20th century. Today's otters are descended from about 400 animals, which the state reintroduced to the region in the 1960s. The otter's rapid population growth and voracious appetite for shellfish has been a major concern for commercial crabbers, dive fishermen, and fishery managers who blame the animals for a loss of productive fishing grounds. That's prompted efforts to encourage more hunting. According to Gill, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the University of Alaska are working together to assess how much harvest is sustainable.
To really look at sustainability, not just within Southeast Alaska, but smaller areas, you know, because population varies within a large area, too. And so we're still looking at that question.
The sustainable harvest is extremely important to us.
Lee Katinger is Chief Operating Officer for the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. The institute administers the regional native corporation's cultural and educational programs, which includes the use of otter hides.
What we have been working very closely with Fish and Wildlife Service on is what is that potential biological removal rate, and we're far from that, but it's something that we are working closely with them. And we are ensuring that the harvest that we have will be sustainable and will be able to continue in the long term.
That story from Matt Lichtenstein in Petersburg. And an underground cable failure left parts of downtown and Japonski Island without power Saturday morning. Most of the city's electricity runs through overhead wires, but not Sitka's downtown. The underground cables are subject to occasional failures, says Sitka Utilities Director Christopher Bruton. Power went out at 6:55 a.m. and was restored just before 10 a.m. And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka, 46 degrees in downtown Sitka and overcast. Expect rain throughout our listening region today and tomorrow. Have a good morning.